Hello mga kabechang, it's me, your gay detective, Martin Rules, and welcome back to my channel! And you know what time it is? It's Philippine True Crime Stories! Kumusta kayong lahat? I hope you guys, girls, and my non-binary friends are safe and healthy. Kung bago kayo sa aking channel, hello, my name is Martin at tuwing Huwebes gumagawa ko ng video tungkol sa totoong krimen o misteryo na nangyari sa Pilipinas habang nagme-makeup. Kaya naman kung interesado kayo sa ganitong klaseng content, I highly suggest na mag-subscribe ka na sa aking channel para naman matuwa ako sa iyo. Tsareng! Huwag mo rin kalimutan na i-click yung bell button para makalampag ka pag meron tayong bagong uploads. And lastly, if you have any questions tungkol sa topic natin for today, or sa mga makeup na i-apply ko, huwag kayong mahiyaan magtanong sa comment section below. So last week, kung naalala nyo pa, pinag-usapan natin yung mga biktimang si Maria Evelyn Sayos and Lea Angeles Nang. And today naman, we are going to talk about yung isa sa mga notorious na serial killer sa Amerika na si Andrew Cunanan. By the way, maraming salamat sa mga nag-recommend nito. You know who you are. Kung ikaw rin ay may nalalaman na true crime or mystery na nangyari sa Pilipinas or kahit sa ibang bansa na involved ang Filipino, let me know sa comment section below at pag-uusapan natin yan sa mga susunod na episodes. Okay, ever since napanood ko yung The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story, ang sabi ko, this needs to be told in gay detective way para naman sa mga kabetsyang ko, no? So, here we are. Kaya naman, let's STFU and proceed to the story. Babala. Ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya at description ay maaaring makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. Bago tayo magtungo sa nitty-gritty part ng story, kilalanin muna natin si Andrew, okay? Si Andrew Philip Cunanan ay ipinanganak noong August 31, 1969 sa National City, California. Sa mga magulang na sina Modesto Pete Cunanan, isang Filipino-American, at si Mary Ann Scilacci, isang Italian-American. Si Andrew yung pinakabunso sa magkakapatid. Yung nakakatanda niyang mga siblings ay sina Christopher, Elena, and Regina. And yung tatay niya na si Modesto was serving in US Navy in Vietnam War at the time of his son's birth. And then after serving as chief officer for some time, he left the military and found work as a stockbroker. Though a disciplinarian, allegedly hindi biolente or mapanakit itong si Modesto, and Andrew did not experience any childhood traumas. Na kung mapapansin nyo, yung mga traumas dahil sa mga violent na environment, yung isa sa mga tinitingnan ng mga experts na dahilan or background ng mga serial killers. During Andrew's childhood, he lived with his family like everyone else. He attended Bonita Vista Middle School. He was remembered as being bright and talkative. At nung third grade niya, he had an IQ of 147. In 1980, Modesto moved the family to San Diego. And shortly after, he enrolled Andrew to the Bishop's School, isang independent and prestigious school located in affluent La Jolla neighborhood in San Diego. However, it's important to note that Modesto and Mary didn't enroll their other three children sa pangmayaman na school na ito, oo. Dahil Andrew is apple in Modesto's eye, oo. Dahil siguro siya yung youngest and very bright, kaya siya yung favorite. According sa brother ni Andrew na si Christopher, who spoke to Diane Sawyer in 1997 interview for ABC News, Andrew was his father's pride and joy and was raised in special treatment. Ayon naman sa sister niya na si Elena sa same interview with Diane Sawyer, and I quote, "He got everything he needed. My dad gave him a sports car. He slept alone in the master's bedroom. He had his own bath and everything," end quote. During his high school years sa Bishop School, sabi ng mga classmates niya, Andrew was shamelessly flamboyant, was well-liked, but he puts on air. As a teenager, he developed a reputation as prolific liar dahil sa gawa-gawang kwento tungkol his family and his personal life. He would say that he's from Philippine royalty. They are wealthy and came from rich parts of the world. Basically, sobrang exaggerated ng stories niya, and most of the time, gawa-gawa niya lang talaga. Andrew learned early on that he was able to get attention by being charming and persuasive with his outrageous behavior. Na-realize niya rin na it was possible to elicit the reactions of others that he wanted and take advantage of their perception of him through boasting a fake fantasy life. He was also adept at changing his appearance according to what he felt the most attractive at a given moment. Andrew identified as gay in high school and began having liaison with wealthy older men. The Bishop School 1987 High School Yearbook, he was voted most likely to be remembered, and he wrote sa kanyang yearbook, and I quote, "Après moi, la déluge," end quote. Ibig sabihin, after me, the flood. After high school that same year, Andrew enrolled sa University of California in San Diego and majored in American history. By this time, things went downhill dahil yung tatay ni Andrew na si Modesto faced arrest for allegedly pocketing $100,000 in a fraudulent business deal. It was 1988. Andrew was 19 years old nung iniwan sila ni Modesto and moved to the Philippines to evade arrest for embezzlement. He took all the money with him and secretly sold the house weeks earlier. So basically, he's a douchebag and left his wife and children penniless and homeless. Ang sabi-sabi at inassume ng mga nakakilala kay Andrew that this event had a dramatic effect on him. During his freshman year sa college, itong si Andrew ay nag-travel papuntang Philippines para makita ang kanyang tatay. According sa San Diego Tribune, Andrew stayed for a month at sinubukang pabalikin yung tatay niya sa States or at least bigyan siya or yung family niya ng money. Unfortunately, yung tatay niya betrayed him for the second time. Hindi siya binigyan ng money and all. Kaya naman, he decided na umalis and later described deplorable yung living conditions niya with his relatives. Pagbalik niya sa US, tinago niya lahat yung tungkol sa tatay niya and told his friends na nagtatrabaho ito sa Europe and South America. During the same year, dahil siguro sa stress niya or depression dahil sa mga nangyayari sa kanyang buhay, he spent more time partying sa local gay clubs na sobrang against yung nanay niya na si Mary dahil sobrang religious nito. At nung napansin niya nga yung lifestyle ni Andrew at pagiging bakla nito, she confronted him at nauwi sa heated argument. Yung argument naging pisikalan nung tinulak ni Andrew yung nanay niya sa wall, dislocating her shoulder. After that incident, hindi niya na kinonfront si Andrew about his sexual orientation at sa pagpaparty nito. In fact, binigyan niya pa ito ng attention, adored him more, maybe to mask her own feelings about sa situation. Ang sabi sa behavior ni Andrew in later examination tungkol sa violence towards his mother indicated that Andrew might have suffered from antisocial personality disorder characterized by lack of remorse and empathy. Noong 1989 naman, Andrew settled in Castro District in San Francisco, a center of the LGBTQ culture. Lumipat siya doon with his longtime and good friend Elizabeth Cote and her boyfriend. During that time frame, Andrew continued his practice of befriending wealthy older men. And he also began creating violent pornography. It was also believed na he was dealing drugs, including prescription opioids, cocaine, and marijuana. Gumagamit din siya ng mga aliases like Andrew De Silva, Lieutenant Commander Andy Cummings, Drew Cunningham, and Kurt Matthew Demaris. Allegedly, unang nakita ni Andrew yung fashion designer na si Gianni Versace noong 1990 in San Francisco. Versace was in town para magsukat ng mga costume na dinesign niya for the San Francisco Opera production of Richard Strauss' opera Capriccio. Pero it's important to note that Versace family always denied that Gianni ever met Andrew. Anyway, magtungo tayo sa first lover slash victim ni Andrew Cunanan na si Jeffrey Trail. Okay, nagkakilala sila noong late 1992 or early 1993. Si Jeffrey was serving on the USS Gridley, a Navy cruiser docked in San Diego. At this point sa buhay ni Jeffrey, he was kind of struggling sa kanyang sexuality. Well, he knew he was gay, pero the military forbade homosexual people from serving. Dahil alam naman natin, during the 90s at yung mga decades before that, sobrang prevalent ng hate at unfair treatment ng heteronormative system or society sa mga gay, lesbian, and trans. Makapagsalita naman ako, parang ang dami na bago, oo. Surprise! Fast forward to 2022, the LGBTQIA+ community still experience the same. We're just being tolerated and not accepted. Basic human rights nga, like SOGI equality bill, that would not only protect us, but also the straight people from discrimination and prejudice, hindi maipasa. Ano ba? Going back, nag-participate si Jeffrey in an interview sa The 48 Hours. Naka-silhouette lang siya para hindi makita ng audience yung face niya at para maprotektahan din yung kanyang identity or yung kanyang sarili. He discussed yung pagiging closeted niya in the military. Ang sabi niya, in a quote, "Whether people like it or not, there are gays in the military. They are very top-notch performers. They know what they're doing. You're gonna weaken our national defense if you remove gays from the military. And you'll never be able to do it 100%. It's just whether or not you're gonna continue to hunt us or force us to fear." End quote. According to Maureen Orth, who wrote the book titled Vulgar Favors, which based sa childhood ni Andrew and murders, nung nag-meet raw si Andrew and Jeffrey, he was quote-unquote in awe of the utter flamboyance and ease which Andrew handled his sexual orientation. Remember nung nasabi ko kanina na mahilig gumawa ito ng kwento si Andrew? Well, ginagawa niyang kasangkapan itong si Jeffrey for his lies. Like for example, para i-impress yung mga guests niya for his 26th birthday, binigyan niya ng box si Jeffrey containing Ferragamo shoes para ibigay sa birthday niya, to pretend na they were his gifts to him. Binigyan niya rin si Jeffrey ng Ferragamo shoes to wear and ask him to pose as a doctor on that evening. Although somehow close si Andrew at Jeffrey, ayon kay Maureen Orth sa kanyang book, almost everyone who knew insists that they never had a sexual relationship. In fact, Andrew frequently set Jeffrey up with other men. Samantala, yung ibang friends ni Jeffrey didn't like Andrew. Sabi ni Chris Gamache and her partner Judy Fleisner, quote-unquote, "You need to get this guy out here. He's a jerk and idiot." Pero laging pinagtatanggol ni Jeffrey si Andrew. Napansin din ng mga tao na ginagaya ni Andrew si Jeffrey. Sabi ng kapatid ni Jeffrey na si Lisa sa New York Times interview na 1997, and I quote, "When Jeff got a haircut, Andrew had to have the same exact haircut. When Jeff went to San Francisco and get a certain baseball cap, Andrew had to go to San Francisco and get the very same cap. When Jeff grew a goatee, Andrew grew a goatee." End quote. Then enters Norman Blackford. He and Andrew dated sometime between 1994 and 1996. At yung details ng partner. Okay, bago tayo magpatuloy, gusto ko muna kayong tanungin, mga kabetchang. Do you ever wonder how I create my podcast? Gusto nyo bang magsimula na rin ng sarili ninyong show at i-conquer ang podcasting world pero worried kayo sa recording, editing, at iba pang masasamang elemento na maaaring pumigil sa vibe ninyo? Well, worry no more, honey, dahil sobrang easy na mag-start ng podcast ngayon using Anchor.
Libre lang today. At sa mismong app, you can already record and edit your podcast and publish it on various platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at marami pang iba. As your gay detective, I can attest to the fact that Anchor is guilty for being the easiest way to make a podcast. So download it now on App Store, Play Store, or access it via the website www.anchor.fm for free. Anchor, everything you need to make a podcast. Now back to the episode.
Remains murky. And you can actually create or make your own speculations based sa mga susunod kong sasabihin. So si Norman was a retired multimillionaire nung pinagkilala sila ng previous companion ni Andrew na si Lincoln Aston. At that time, kakamatay lang nung long-term partner ni Norman sa AIDS nung nagkakilala sila ni Andrew. Masasabi mong yung timing ni Andrew couldn't have been better meeting the then 58-year-old conservative and reserved Norman. Shortly after ipakilala ni Lincoln si Norman and Andrew, Lincoln was bludgeoned to death by a mentally troubled loner. Mm-hmm. Andrew would later convince Norman na bilhin yung bahay na tinitira ni Lincoln before. Both Andrew and Norman were reserved regarding sa nature ng kanilang relationship. It was kind of like the secret everyone knew about. Norman would claim na decorator niya raw si Andrew or just some friend na tinutulungan siya mag-pick out ng mga art. And si Andrew naman would tell his friends na si Norman was an old man or a family friend. However, yung mga close kay Andrew knew he was living with Norman. Ayon sa book ni Maureen, nakasaad doon na aware si Norman that Andrew was with him for his financial security and went as far as to recommend that he go back to school. Norman gave Andrew the taste of high life. According sa report ng Washington Post, Norman financed Andrew on an allowance of $2,500 per month, including the 1996 Infiniti i20T, frequent trips to New York to see a Broadway shows, and vacations to Paris and the south of France. Basically, a sugar daddy. Noong November 1995 naman, nag-meet si Andrew and David Madson. Ayon sa Vanity Fair, kumakain raw si Andrew with his friends sa isang restaurant in San Francisco when he spotted David. Si David Madson na isang Minneapolis architect drinking alone nung in-invite siya ni Andrew to join their group. Later, the two had a non-sexual sleepover sa room ni Andrew sa Mandarin Oriental Hotel. Merong attractive na personality itong si David na nagustuhan ni Andrew. And it was the first time in Andrew's life that he was really and truly attracted to someone. Sa mga nakakilala kay David, like his boss, described him as enormously charming, full of life, full of energy. Yung mga friends yun naman ang sabi, he was so charismatic that he blew people away. A college friend named Wendy Peterson said, quote-unquote, "I think people always wanted to be around him because of the electrifying magnetism of his personality." So, nag-date si Andrew and David for several months. According sa book na Vulgar Favors, sobrang secretive daw ni Andrew kay David dahil hindi raw nito sinasabi kung saan siya nakatira and he often changed his phone number, citing his wealthy family needs a privacy as the reason. Pero in reality, tinatago lang ni Andrew yung relationship niya kay David from Norman na gumagastos sa kanyang mga lavish lifestyle. Ngunit may mga reports na sobrang frustrated si David sa mga palusot ni Andrew. Kaya minsan binibisita niya ito sa San Francisco where Andrew would pay for him to stay in a hotel. Noong April 1996, Andrew made his first trip to Minneapolis and these trips would even continue kahit nahiwalay na sila ni David. Especially when Jeffrey Trail moved to Minnesota. We'll get to that in a while. Bear with me. Noong May 1996 naman, during one of David's trips para bisitahin si Andrew sa San Francisco, yung friend ni Andrew told David na mag-ingat sa mga kasinungalingan ni Andrew. Sabi niya, quote-unquote, "Andrew is a pathological liar." Even si Jeffrey Trail warned David tungkol kay Andrew. Ang sabi niya, in a quote, "You can't believe a word he says. He'll say anything just to get a reaction." End quote. Naghiwalay si Andrew and David noong July 1996. According sa Vulgar Favors, gusto raw ni David na maging honest and open si Andrew. Na alam naman natin, something Andrew would not do, right? The last straw came nung nangako si Andrew kay David that he'd come and spend the 4th of July with him. Pero lumipas na yung July 4th, walang Andrew na dumating. Hence, they broke up. After nang hiwalayan nila, Andrew sought solace in his friendship with Jeffrey. Nagsasabi siya rito ng mga tungkol kay David, calling him quote-unquote, the love of my life, the man I want to marry. Ayon pa sa Vanity Fair, Andrew kept a photo ni David sa refrigerator niya. Allegedly, nag-propose raw itong si Andrew kay David sometime between Valentine's Day and Easter of 1997. Almost a whole year after they break up. Pero Andrew told one of his friends in San Diego that David denied the proposal. In September 1996 naman, Andrew broke up with Norman. Although Andrew told several friends that the relationship ended because of Norman's lack of generosity, pero it seems really because Andrew grew so obsessed to win David back. Noong November that same year, Jeffrey moved from San Diego to Minneapolis for a new job. At dahil si David lived in Midwestern City, he met up with Jeffrey and the two formed a friendly bond. Samantala, si Andrew patuloy na bumibisita kay David sa Minneapolis kahit na hiwalay na sila. Kaloka pa kasi ginagamit ni Andrew yung paglipat ni Jeffrey sa Minneapolis as an excuse para i-pursue si David with force. According sa friend ni David na si Wendy Peterson, quote-unquote, eventually, David moved on from Andrew and began dating other men. But that didn't deter Andrew. Actually, meron pang heated moment na nangyari noong November 1996 sa isang party na naganap sa apartment ni David sa Minneapolis. Yung boyfriend ni David at that time na si Rob Davis, pagod na sa pangungulit ni Andrew, kaya he pushed Andrew against the wall. At sinabi nito in a quote, I understand you're excessive. I'm not gonna have you pressing off my man while I'm here. You respect my presence or you won't be here. End quote. Gagged. Gagatondra, honey. Gagatondra. Sa mga pagsisinungaling at mga sikreto ni Andrew at yung constant habit nito showing up unannounced sa apartment ni Jeffrey, at pag-apuso sa hospitality nito, he wanted to cut Andrew out of his life dahil pagod na siya sa pagiging erratic at ostentatious behavior ni Andrew. Nag-theorize pa actually yung mga friends ni Jeffrey that Andrew, who consumed drugs, tried to get Jeffrey involved in his business, which just evidently pushed Jeffrey away. Nabanggit rin ni Jeffrey sa former roommate niya na si Andrew resumed selling drugs and also gumagamit din, especially methamphetamine. This was all likely due to the fact that Andrew had no longer access to Norman's money and maxed out all of his credit cards. By April 1997, Andrew was abusing painkillers and was drinking alcohol na parang wala nang bukas. Later that month, sinabihan ni Andrew yung ilang friends niya na he was leaving San Diego for Minneapolis to take care of some business matter with Jeffrey, who distanced himself from Andrew. Bago bumisita si Andrew, sinabi ni Jeffrey sa sister niya na he did not want Andrew to come. He also told his roommate that he had a huge falling out with Andrew, and ang sabi niya, in a quote, I made a lot of enemies this weekend. I've got to get out of here. They're going to kill me. End quote. So, here's the timeline. Ilang araw bago patayin si Jeffrey and David. Noong April 24, 1997, si Andrew at yung apat niyang kaibigan attended an ongoing party sa Hillcrest, California cuisine. Sobrang rare occasion na hindi sinagot ni Andrew yung bayaran, di ba dahil nga he maxed out both of his credit cards. Kaya tumawag siya sa bank and ask for a credit extension para ma-afford niya yung plane ticket papuntang Minneapolis. Noong April 25, 1997, pagdating niya sa Minneapolis Airport, sinundo siya ni David kahit na hindi nito feel na sunduin itong si Andrew. Kumain si David and Andrew sa Nye's restaurant and later binisita yung The Gays 90s nightclub. That night, habang nagdi-dinner, Andrew encouraged David to show off the new Cartier watch he had just gifted him na ipakita dun sa mga friends nila. Tapos Andrew stayed with David sa loft apartment nito. April 26, 1997, Andrew made his way sa apartment ni Jeffrey and stayed the night there. Samantala, si Jeffrey was out of town with his boyfriend, and from what I gathered, hindi aware si Jeffrey na nasa apartment niya si Andrew. Pero kasi, based on how Jeffrey was feeling towards Andrew at this moment, sobrang unlikely that he would allow him to stay on his apartment. The next day, April 27, 1997, pagbalik ni Jeffrey sa flat niya, he told his boyfriend na si John Hackett that he needed to have a pretty important conversation with Andrew. Though hindi nila naabutan si Andrew sa apartment dahil there was no signs of him or any of his belongings, pero nawawala yung barrel ni Jeffrey. Pagkatapos, Andrew had made his way back sa apartment ni David and tinawagan niya si Jeffrey na pumunta sa apartment ni David para, you know, mag-usap sila to have the conversation para na rin masoli yung barrel niya. Jeffrey left his apartment to see Andrew shortly after 9 p.m. Nakarating siya sa apartment ni David ng mga 9:45 p.m. And upon his arrival, out of nowhere, Andrew began beating Jeffrey to death using a hammer. At lahat ng ito ay nangyari sa harap ni David. He was trapped inside his own apartment with Jeffrey's dead body and Andrew. Yung mga otoridad believe na si David remained in his apartment with Andrew 2 days after yung murder ni Jeffrey. Dahil may isang neighbor ang nakakita sa dalawa and the apartment elevator noong April 28. May isa pang nakapansin na nilalakad ng dalawa yung aso ni David noong April 29 naman. On the same day and year, April 29, 1997, nabahala yung katrabaho ni David dahil hindi ito pumasok sa trabaho. Sobrang concerned nila that they even visited David's apartment to check up on him. Na-discover nila yung katawan ni Jeffrey na nakabalot ng rug at nakatago sa likod ng sofa. Yung relos ni Jeffrey had stopped at 9:55 p.m. which authorities believe that was the time of his death. No May 2, 1997, si David and Andrew were seen together sa North Minneapolis, driving in David's Jeep and eating lunch in a bar. No May 3, nakita yung lifeless body ni David sa east shore of Rush Lake near Rush City, Minnesota. Meron siyang gunshot wound to the head and back from .40 caliber Taurus PT-100 semi-automatic pistol na pagmamay-ari ni Jeffrey. Okay, yung susunod na mga murders ay controversial dahil yung mga pamilya ng mga biktima ay dinedeny na kakilala nung mahal nila sa buhay si Andrew Cunanan. First, si Lee Miglin, isang American business tycoon and philanthropist. After starting his career as a door-to-door salesman and then a broker, Lee became a successful real estate developer. Noong 1959, he married Marilyn Klecka, na kilala bilang isang queen of makeovers. She established a prominent perfume and cosmetics company at isang celebrity on the Home Shopping Network. Si Lee and Marilyn had 2 children together. Yung una is si Marlena na ipinanganak noong 1968, at si Duke noong 1971. I know wala itong kinalaman kay Andrew at sa pagkamatay ni Lee, pero it's important to know one's background, right? Dahil si Maureen Orth, remember, speculated in her book that Lee might have been a closeted gay or bisexual and nasa secret relationship with Andrew. Dagdag pa ni Maureen, yung killer raw ay natulog sa kama ni Lee, kumain ng ham and sandwich, ice cream, soft drinks, ganyan. Nag-shave sa bathroom at naligo sa bathtub. It appeared that the killer had been in no hurry and seemed comfortable. Nung umalis yung killer, he took $10,000 in cash and several of the victim's suit. These details, along with the fact that Lee did not have any defensive wounds at wala ring signs of forced entry sa bahay, suggest that kilala ni Lee itong suspect. Nakumpirma ng mga investigators na si Andrew yung salarin sa pagkamatay ni Lee dahil yung red jeep ni David ay nakapark sa street malapit sa bahay ng biktima. At this point, they knew that Andrew had murdered Jeffrey Trail, David Madson, and Lee Miglin. Natagpuan yung katawan ni Lee no May 4,
1997. Hey, Bechangs! Wanna start your own podcast pero worried about what goes through the production process? Girl, if hindi mo pa naririnig, may I share with you Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Just download it via the App Store, Play Store, or access it from the website www.anchor.fm for free. Tapos meron silang creation tools doon that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right away. You also don't have to worry about the distribution on different platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and others dahil Anchor will do the job for you. Now back to the episode.
Sa garahe ng bahay niya sa Chicago Gold Coast Historic District. May tali siya on both hands and nakabalot ng tape yung mukha niya with only breathing space sa kanyang nostrils. Tinorture siya with saw and screwdriver. Meron din siyang broken ribs. Binugbog din siya at sinaksak 20 times. At yung throat niya had been slashed with gardener's bow saw. Sa crime scene, may natagpuan hydrocortisone under Lee's body. He's wearing a Calvin Klein bikini underwear. Bukas yung zipper ng jeans niya. At nakasuot siya ng isang pares ng sapatos na Ferragamo Black Suede. Yung ankle niya were bound by orange extension cord at may nakadagan na dalawang bagang semento sa kanya. Also, yung pagbalot nung tape sa mukha ni Lee resembled the latex mask which Andrew seemed intrigued with from watching S&M pornography. The reporters and the authorities tried to find a link between Lee, who appeared to have been happily married, and Andrew, who had a history of being kept by wealthy older boyfriends and was also rumored to have worked as an escort. Pagkatapos, Andrew took off gamit yung 1994 green Lexus LS sedan ni Lee. Yung car was equipped with car phone at according sa Ameritech Cellular Records, na-activate daw ito noong May 4 in Union County sa Pennsylvania. Kaya minonitor ng authorities yung phone activity at nakita nila na it was also activated noong May 8 sa Philadelphia and again on May 9 near Penns Grove and Carneys Point, New Jersey. Noong gabi ng May 9, a woman by the name Rebecca Reese na-realize na hindi umuwi yung kanyang 45-year-old husband na si William Reese for dinner. Kaya binisita niya ito sa cemetery sa Pennsville Township sa New Jersey, which is the Penns Point National Cemetery kung saan nagtatrabaho yung asawa niya as a caretaker. Nakita niya yung pinto sa office ng asawa niya na slightly ajar and radio playing inside. Pagkatapos, tumawag siya ng police who later found William was shot in the head using the same pistol, the Taurus pistol, na ginamit sa pagpatay kay David. Unlike sa ibang biktima ni Andrew na pinatay niya for seemingly personal reasons, yung mga authorities believe na kaya pinatay ni Andrew si William ay dahil sa 1995 red Chevrolet pickup truck nito. Many believe that Andrew learned that he was being trailed by the authorities dahil sa paggamit niya ng phone dun sa car ni Lee, kaya he used this red truck to flee for Florida. Noong May 12, 1997, nagstay si Andrew sa Normandy Plaza Hotel in Miami Beach, Florida, kung saan nagbabayad siya ng $29 a night in cash. That same day, he was listed as one of the most wanted fugitives ng FBI. Yung pagtugis sa kanya were unsuccessful dahil nag-focus sila dun sa truck na ginagamit ni Andrew. And then, nagsangla ng nakaw na gamit si Andrew. It was actually a gold coin from Lee. Ginamit ni Andrew yung sarili niyang pangalan sa pagsangla nito noong July 7. Despite knowing full well na nag-iikot yung mga police sa mga pawn shop para mag-review ng kanilang records. Fast forward noong July 14, seemingly out of money, nag-check out si Andrew sa hotel without paying his last stay there. So eto na, let's talk about Gianni Versace, na ipinanganak noong December 2, 1946 sa Reggio Calabria in Italy. Anak siya ng isang salesman at seamstress at meron siyang tatlong kapatid na sina Santo, Tina, and Donatella. He was very talented and well-known fashion designer and noong 1978, He founded Versace, isang luxury fashion company which offers dresses, accessories, fragrance, makeup, and home furnishings. Nung bata siya, ang sabi nung nanay niya, bakit hindi siya lumabas at makipaglaro? Ayaw niya dahil gusto niyang makita yung paggawa ng nanay niya ng damit. In his mid-20s, Gianni was in Milan, the hot new epicenter of fashion. Kumikita siya ng 6 figures a year as a designer. At yung first collection niya was shown on March 28, 1978 at the Permanente, isang contemporary art museum. Dahil sa mga provocative clothes niya, he became the darling of Milan, igniting a bitter rivalry with Giorgio Armani. The saying went, Armani dresses the wife, Versace dresses the mistress. Sabi ni Vogue editor-in-chief Anna Winter sa kanyang Dateline interview, and I quote, not only he was a brilliant designer, he was a brilliant marketer. He was the first to bring celebrities into the front rows. Dagdag pa niya, quote-unquote, he was the first to use actresses and rock stars in his advertising campaign. He understood the importance of getting his name and his image out there on a global level. Versace became one of the most famous designers in his era and was credited with creating the phenomenon 90s supermodels like Linda Evangelista, Cindy Crawford, Carla Bruni, Claudia Schoffer, and Naomi Campbell, to name a few. Yung kasikatan ng brand niya also because he offered a refreshing contrast to the architectural simplicity of his predecessors. His designs were vibrant, sultry, and fun. According to fashion expert Hal Rubenstein, and I quote, he understood that the whole idea of getting dressed is not so much to cover yourself, but is about being attractive. He believed that you should dress to attract attention, end quote. Now let's go back noong July 1997. It was the 15th of the month. Si Gianni went about his normal day. Nag-breakfast siya sa kanyang mansion. And nagbihis ng black shirt and white shorts. Pagkatapos lumabas siya, went on a walk at bumili ng magazine. Mga 8:45 a.m. nung nakabalik siya sa kanyang Casa Casuarina. While opening the gate, hindi siya aware na nasa likod niya si Andrew watching him. Andrew took out the Taurus pistol and shot the 50-year-old Versace on the back of his head and on his left cheek. May naka-witness ng murder na si Dean Aslett, Versace's former senior stylist. Hinabol niya si Andrew pero he was not able to catch him. Gianni Versace was pronounced dead at Jackson Memorial Hospital at 9:20 a.m. At yung mga responding police found the stolen vehicle na ginamit ni Andrew pero hindi na siya mahagilap. Natagpuan yung sasakyan sa isang parking lot. At sa loob, nakita yung some of Andrew's clothes at mga newspaper na may balita yung tungkol sa kanyang pagpatay. Lumipas ang ilang araw, 8 days to be exact, walang leads or information yung mga otoridad. And on July 23, 1997, sa second floor ng luxury houseboat alongside Collins Avenue in Miami Beach, Florida, Andrew Cunanan killed himself by a self-inflicted gunshot to the right temple. Yung houseboat was under siege for more than 4 hours bago pasukin ito ng mga police. Nung nakapasok yung mga police, na-discover nila yung dead body ni Andrew, gun in his hand, which is yung Taurus pistol. Sa pag-search nila sa lugar or sa place, wala silang nakita na kahit anong suicide note or kahit anong evidence na makakapag-provide ng sagot or sa katanungan nila sa motive ni Andrew sa pagpatay. Hanggang ngayon, unknown yung dahilan sa ginawa ni Andrew killing spree, although there was an extensive public and press speculation na yung pag-discover raw ni Andrew na he was allegedly HIV positive and he may be infected dahil sa mga sex escapades niya before with wealthy older men, ang nagtulak sa kanya sa pagpatay. Kaya na-develop yung hatred niya sa mga ito for doing this to him. At yung hatred niya na ito ay isang rason kung bakit niya tinarget si Gianni Versace dahil he symbolized successful gay men and he wants that fame, wealth, and stability for himself. However, sa autopsy, it was revealed that he was in fact HIV negative at tinitingnan na jealousy yung dahilan or plays a big part in some of his murders. Hindi lang sa nasaktan siya being rejected by David and Jeffrey, nagselos rin siya dahil both were successful in their professions, while Andrew's career was not. Sa katunayan, he really never had a stable job after nung tigilan niya yung pagpa-prostitute at pagdikit niya sa mga sugar daddies. Isa pa, tanggap nung family nila David and Jeffrey yung pagiging homosexual nila, pero Andrew's family did not. At yung jealousy niya kay Gianni Versace ay baka dahil gusto niya nung ganong klase ng success, pero hindi niya nakamit. Kaya some believe na yung pagpatay niya would gain fame and notoriety. Remember nung nabanggit ko kanina na nag-meet na si Gianni Versace and Andrew Cunanan noong 1990, pero dinili na ito ng Versace family? Ayon kasi sa FBI agents, they firmly believe both Andrew and Gianni did in fact meet in San Francisco. According kasi sa several eyewitness, they would definitely interacted on further occasions. Dahil both of them were involved in sex for hire circle in Miami and San Francisco. Although kung anumang relationship ang namamagitan sa kanila is still a mystery, dahil alam naman ng lahat na mayroong lifelong partner si Gianni Versace na si Antonio D'Amico. Anyway, yung katawan ni Gianni was cremated and was buried in family's vault in Moltresillo Cemetery near Lake Como. Ginanap sa Milan Cathedral yung funeral niya at inatina ng 2,000 people, including Princess Diana, Elton John, and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. Samantala, Andrew Cunanan's cremated remains naman ay inilibing sa Mausoleum at Holy Cross Cemetery in San Diego. Noong September 1997, inannounced na yung kapatid ni Gianni na si Santo would become the new CEO while Donatella would become the new head of design. Sa will ni Gianni, 50% na kanyang fashion empire ay mapupunta sa pamangkin niyang si Allegra worth $500 million. She and her younger brother Daniel inherited Gianni's rare artwork collections. So that is the story for today's video. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Ako, para sa akin, sobrang tragic nung nangyari dahil si Andrew could have been the best, if not the great, sa profession or career na pipiliin niya or tatahakin niya. Pero this is the end that he chose. I mean, ang dami niyang opportunity, he got all the privileges, and this happened. Masabi rin natin siguro na malaking epekto sa kanya yung pag-abandona ng tatay niya sa kanila. Yung pagsisinungaling niya at early age, mas lumala at this moment nung iniwan sila ng tatay niya. Kaya he suffered from APD or antisocial personality disorder. At kung nakita ito ng parents niya, hindi sana humantong sa ganito at napigilan yung mga ganitong pangyayari, right? Kayo naman, let's talk about your comments, thoughts, violent reaction about this case sa comment section below. Kung interested kayo to read the book, I think available siya online. Hindi ko lang alam kung free or whatnot. Basta hanapin nyo lang yung Vulgar Favors by Maureen Orth. Or watch American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. Before I say goodbye, gusto ko lang sabihin na maraming salamat sa panonood na makarating kayo hanggang dito sa dulo ng video. I appreciate you so much. As always, please keep safe and healthy, and I'll see you guys on my next video. Bye!